Welcome to the Debt Management and Budgeting Podcast. If you are in the first 10 years of your career, you are in a great position to make the right financial decisions right from the start. If you're past that point and haven't gotten started yet, it's not too late to get on track. Let's explore how to create a budget, creative ways to reduce spending, and the importance of saving for retirement. Having a budget puts you in control. Many of us do not have a good handle on what we spend our money on, and we are also afraid of the word budget. But having a budget puts you in control. You can enjoy your money instead of worrying about the bills. When you create your budget, it doesn't have to be a huge project. In fact, it can be done in a few easy steps, and by having a clear understanding of your expenses, it could help you free up cash to save for other goals. First, list your regular monthly expenses. Keep track of all your variable or day-to-day expenses for 2 or 3 weeks. There are the usual things, like your mortgage or rent, food, and transportation. But don't forget those nice-to-have purchases. It's important to keep track of all your expenses. Second, categorize your expenses. Which ones are essential, which are discretionary or nice-to-have? There are some expenditures that you can't live without, such as housing costs, food, car payments, and utility costs. Third, once you have all of your expenses laid out, take a good look at where all of your money is going. Be creative and look for ways to reduce some of your spending. As you make your entries, look for ways to tighten your belt. That way you'll have money left over for saving and investing or for paying down debt. Fourth, remember to stay focused on your spending behaviors. We all know that unexpected things can come up that sometimes take us off track. But with a budget in place, it will be easier to get back to the spending behaviors you were following prior to that unexpected occurrence. There are two types of expenses you will need to plan for. The first are essential expenses, the ones that you know you absolutely need, such as a mortgage, food, and healthcare. The second type of expense is discretionary. Those are the things you don't need, but you would like to have, such as hobbies or other items. Remember, the goal of successful budgeting is learning to live within the bounds of your discretionary income. No one says you have to give up everything, but remember your goals and look for ways to reduce spending wherever possible. That way you will have money left over for saving and investing or paying down debt. Can you carpool to work a couple of days or maybe make arrangements with someone else to carpool? Take the time to look around for the best prices on a number of expenses. What about a good old garage sale or tag sale, as some of us call it? It can be a great opportunity to make some extra money and at the same time clean out that basement and attic. You will be very surprised at how the little things can add up. And think through your decisions to buy really expensive things. Do it systematically. When creating a budget just isn't enough, there are other steps to consider. Some of us run up more consumer debt than just budgeting will address, and everyone's situation is very different. If you find that budgeting alone isn't working, there are other options to consider. One could be a home equity loan. You may be able to access the equity in your home at a rate you are comfortable with. Another option may be debt consolidation. A third party will budget for you, pay down all of your debts, beginning with the highest interest rates. They will work with creditors to lower interest rates and forgive any late fees. Several companies offer this service free of charge. They are paid for by the credit card companies. A disadvantage is that a note is placed on your credit report stating that you have used a debt consolidation service. Debt settlement and bankruptcy may be another option. Debt settlement allows the individual to pay back a certain percentage of accrued debt. Both options can be very damaging to your credit, so consider these options carefully. Save for retirement first. Your workplace savings plan is hard to beat. With a budget you can live with in place, now you should consider taking advantage of your retirement savings opportunities. That starts with your workplace savings plan. While this may seem contrary to what you may have heard, such as that you should pay off credit card debt first or save for college before retirement, we believe saving for retirement should be most Americans' top priority. Why? You can probably get loans to pay other things, a house, a car, your children's college tuition, but there are very few ways to fund your retirement. In addition, your workplace savings plan offers the following unique combination of benefits. ease and convenience. Your contributions are taken directly out of your paycheck. You can increase or decrease your contributions as you see fit. Your plan may also offer an opportunity to automatically increase your contribution amount annually. The investment choices offered in the plan are an excellent way to create a diversified retirement portfolio. Tax advantages. Another benefit is that the contributions to your savings plan are tax deferred. You may actually lower your current taxable income if you contribute to this plan. Also, your money grows tax deferred. In other words, you are only taxed on the money when you take it out. What that means is during the time you are saving, you do not have to pay any taxes on the account as long as you keep the money in it. Compounded growth potential. Any earnings on your savings are reinvested right back into your account where they can produce additional earnings. The longer you keep the money in your account, the harder each dollar can work for you. As many retirement savers have discovered, the effects of long-term compounding can be remarkable. Remember that investing does involve risk and the value of your investment will fluctuate over time and you may gain or lose money. Make paying down high interest debt a priority. Debt is an ongoing struggle in our American society today. The most common example of debt is high interest credit cards. It is important to have a strong financial plan to pay down debt. One way to strengthen your financial plan is to work on paying down debt. Set a goal as to when you want to have little to no debt. Let's explore consumer spending trends, debt income ratio, and ways to reduce bad debt. Consumer spending drives our economy, but we are spending more than we are saving. 1 in 5 Americans say their main concern is to pay down debt such as credit cards and student loans. That's according to the Fidelity Viewpoints November 2013.
www.fidelity.com/insights/markets-economy/consumers-still-struggling.
According to a 2012 survey for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, 39% of Americans now carry a credit card balance. The average American has an average debt of $8,220 per credit card that carries a balance.
This is according to www.credit-card.com/credit-card-news/credit-card-industry-facts-personal-debt-statistics-1276.php.
About 8% of credit card holders make only the minimum payment each month, according to creditcards.com. The average APR on a credit card with a balance on it is 12.94%. This source is the Federal Reserve's G.19 report on consumer credit, released February 2014, as posted on www.federalreserve.gov/release-G19/current. How much debt is too much? Ideally, CNNMoney.com says your total monthly long-term debt payments, including your mortgage, credit card payments, and loan payments, should not exceed 36% of your gross monthly income. It's an acceptable amount in their opinion. This means that for every $100 you earn, $36 goes to debt. Some people whose debt-to-income ratio is below 36% may still have a hard time making payments because of their other expenses. If that's the case, a budget can be very helpful. Only you can decide what is a comfortable amount of debt for you. This is according to financialplan.about.com/od/credit-and-debt-a/debt-income-ratio.htm-about.com. Reducing debt helps free up cash. So while you are contributing at a comfortable level, next you want to consider paying off high interest debt that is not tax deductible, such as those credit card balances. Use every extra savings to pay down the balance. If you have multiple accounts, you can work on the one with the highest interest rate first. Continue to make the minimum required payment on other credit cards so you don't get hit with any penalties. When the first credit card is paid off, you move on to putting your extra money toward paying off the next. Each card gets easier to pay off because you have more money to work with. You can do this until you're out from under all of your high interest debt. In terms of lower interest tax deductible debt, examples include deductible home mortgage debt. You should consider placing the payoff below saving to tax advantage accounts for retirement, as such debts generally have lower interest rates and also provide tax benefits. In the best case, what you bought with borrowed funds will appreciate in value. Reducing bad debt helps free up cash. Pick the highest interest rate card and attack. Here's an example of how to free up cash for saving by paying off that bad kind of debt. Let's start with a hypothetical balance of $5,150 and an interest rate of 14.99%. By paying down your balance at a rate of $150 per month, interest payments would end up being $1,962. However, by paying $100 more additional dollars per month, over $1,000 of interest payments could be saved over time. Identify your wants and the needs. Focus on prioritizing the needs. What is the essential versus what is the discretionary or nice to have? Be certain the essential expenses are your first concern. The important items, such as your housing, food, clothing, and insurance, is an example. If you can save for the wants, you can afford the wants. Everyone's situation is different, but putting things into perspective can help you make good financial decisions. Establish an emergency fund, a safety net for your financial plan. Once you have your high interest debt under control, now you should consider establishing a financial cushion in case of any emergency or unexpected financial need. This would be a priority before paying off any low interest debt. If you don't, then you may have to borrow money, and borrowing more money in this type of situation will only worsen your financial state. It used to be common wisdom that you should save for at least 90 days worth of living expenses in a form you could easily access in case of emergency. But with unemployment on the rise and the economy, well, the way it is, many planners suggest more, 3 to 6 months minimum, with 12 months not being unusual depending on your situation. To get this emergency fund, consider taking whatever amount you will be able to divert to pay off credit card debt and keep going. Except now, build your emergency fund. You've gotten used to paying those bills anyway, so just make the switch from paying the man to paying yourself. These savings should be in a relatively safe place. Money market funds or bank accounts may be the appropriate choice because they are liquid, meaning the funds are easily accessible. An investment in a money market fund is not insured or guaranteed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or any other government agency. Although a money market fund seeks to preserve the value of an investment at $1 per share, it is possible to lose money by investing in a money market fund. Understand, monitor, and protect your credit. Let's explore how to review your credit report, how credit scores are calculated, and tips to keeping good credit. Far too many people wait until they're at the midpoint of their life, ready to buy a house or take out a business loan, to really explore their credit score. Unfortunately for many of them, by then they've accumulated enough negative entries that it makes getting credit difficult. The better approach is to learn while you are still young to check your credit score regularly. It is important that you check your credit reports regularly because early detection is key to minimizing the damage that mistakes and fraudulent activity can have on your credit. Here are some common terms that are important for you to understand. Credit bureaus. A company that gathers consumer credit information from different sources is known as the credit bureau. The primary function of the credit bureau is to keep records about your credit history. Every time you get a credit card or a loan, it is noted in this file. How good you have been about paying your bills also goes into the file. There will be information there about if you have ever filed for bankruptcy, or if you have let a bill go to a collections agency, or if you managed to pay off a loan. Good and bad information about your financial decisions goes into this file. The credit bureau takes all of this information and uses it to create a credit report and your credit score.
Credit report.
A credit report is a comprehensive record of a person or business's credit activity. The report lists loans and credit card account balances and frequency of payments. It will also indicate any collection actions that have been taken as a result of unpaid bills. There are three major agencies that issue credit reports. These include Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion.
Credit scores.
Did you know that the three little numbers that make up your credit score could end up saving you hundreds or even thousands of dollars? When lenders decide whether or not to give you a loan or extend credit, they look at your credit score. Your credit score is the number evaluation that lenders use to gauge creditworthiness. Your credit score can affect your credit limit, loan amount, interest rate, and loan terms. All consumers have a legal right to receive a free credit report annually from the three major credit bureaus based on the Fair Credit Reporting Act. These can be obtained from annualcreditreport.com.
The source is http://whatcreditmonitoring.com/credit-reports/.
A company that gathers consumer credit information from different sources is known as a credit bureau. This information can be used for a variety of purposes, such as assisting lenders in determining creditworthiness, assisting lenders in determining interest rates, assisting lenders in determining ability to repay loans, employment consideration, apartment leasing consideration. Credit bureaus in the U.S. gather and collect individual consumer data relating to financial and personal information. This information comes from sources known as data furnishers. The data furnishers usually consist of lenders, utility companies, creditors, debt collection agencies, and court-issued public records. The individual consumer payment information is reported to the credit bureau and deposited into the bureau's records. By law, a consumer is entitled to obtain an annual credit report for each of the three consuming agencies nationwide: Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. The internet site that is maintained by these three companies in order to provide the free credit report is annualcreditreport.com.
The source is http://whatcreditmonitoring.com/creditbureau/. How to review your credit report.
Credit reports are divided into four main parts.
Personal profile.
The first part of your credit report is located at the top. It's the consumer's basic information. This will include your full name, previous and current addresses, employer, date of birth, and social security number. The name of the spouse may also be included. There may also be different variations of the name listed on the report. This can happen when the name is incorrectly recorded by a creditor. This form of discrepancy will usually remain on the credit report. However, taking note of the address is important. An incorrect address may be an indication of identity theft.
Credit history.
The credit history provides an itemized list of the accounts that are both current and closed. It will also provide information on the account balances and any arrears. The name of the creditor will be listed along with the account number for each bill. The account number is sometimes partially obscured for purposes of security. The debts listed will include items such as credit cards, home mortgages, medical bills, and car loans. The nature of the account will be identified. These designations will include individual, joint, authorized user, undesignated, maker, terminated, shared, or co-signer. The date that the account was opened will appear along with the account history. The maximum credit limit allowed will also appear. The column for terms will indicate the remaining number of installments on an account. The two types of accounts indicated are revolving or installment.
A revolving account, such as credit card debts, do not have a fixed ending date.
An installment account, such as a car loan, will have a specified ending date. Debts that have been given over to a collection agency will also be shown. This will include the date of the reporting and the name of the collection agency. It will also include the original lender and remaining balance on the account.
Public records.
The reports for this section are obtained from federal, state, and local courts. Items reported are tax liens, monetary judgments, and bankruptcies. These items will reflect negatively on the overall credit score and will remain for 7 to 10 years on the credit report.
Inquiry section.
The inquiry section will indicate parties that have received a copy of your credit report within the last 2 years. The two types of inquiries are hard and soft. A loan or a credit application in which the consumer requests a copy of the credit report is a hard inquiry. Soft inquiries come in three types: current, creditor monitoring,
promotional credit offerings, and consumer credit bureau inquiries. The soft inquiries will only show up on credit reports provided to the actual consumer. Two or more hard inquiries that come within a 14-day period are counted only as one inquiry. The source is http://wetcreditmonitoring.com/credit-reports/. How credit scores are calculated. A credit score is also commonly known as the FICO score. The main rules for the score determined were crafted by the Fair Isaac Corporation.
FICO.
There is more than one way to determine a credit score. However, the FICO method is the one most commonly used by lenders. The credit score will be a three-digit number that ranges from 300 to 850. The higher the number, the more likely it is assumed that a debt would be paid. In addition, a good credit score may be used to negotiate for a better interest rate on a loan. Scores that are below 600 are considered to be high-risk borrowers. A score of 650 is considered to be an average credit user, while above 690 is considered excellent. A credit score is based on outstanding debt, new credit, payments, and credit currently used. The national average credit score is 736 as of February 2014. The value is based upon research conducted by Experian, one of the three major credit reporting and scoring agencies.
The source is www.experian.com/credit-education/average-credit-score.html.
Credit scores are calculated based on data in your credit reports and are fluid numbers that change over time, sometimes on a daily basis. That's why it's so important to stay on top of your credit report for changes that could affect your credit scores. Other than pulling your credit report on a daily basis, credit monitoring is the best way to know what's happening with your credit report. Since the FICO score is a proprietary tool, the Fair Isaac Company doesn't indicate its exact calculation formula. However, it's known that the calculation is divided into five categories. These are amount owed 30%, payment history 35%, new credit inquiries 10%, credit history length 15%, and credit type 10%.
The source? http://wetcreditmonitoring.com/credit-score
and http://www.money-zine.com/financial-planning/debt-consolidation/national-average-credit-score/. A good score is essential to your financial well-being. Some tips to keeping good credit include: stay under 20% of available credit on your credit cards. Don't spend money that you don't have. Don't open and close credit card accounts often. Notify creditors of any changes such as name, address, or personal circumstances. Use caution when transferring balances. Do you want to keep your financial fitness on track? Being aware of your own situation is key to taking control of your personal finances. So let's take a few moments to talk about some of the things we can all do to take us closer to reaching our future financial goals. Review the budget that you have developed to assure it continues to meet the changes you may be experiencing financially. When changes occur, adjust it accordingly. Remember, everyone's situation is different. Contribute to your workplace savings plan if you can. The savings vehicle is hard to beat for many reasons. You may not be able to start saving a lot at first, but as you continue to pay down your debt, use that money to increase your contributions. You immediately lower your current taxable income when your contributions are taken before taxes. Your savings grows tax-deferred and any earnings are automatically reinvested. Many people feel they are being selfish when it comes to saving in their workplace plan. We often hear that they should be using the money for their family needs. Quite the opposite is true. It's important to assure you have the financial means to take care of yourself and not have to rely on your family. Remember to continue to save for that emergency fund. Unexpected expenses can occur at any time, and having a little put aside can help offset that unexpected happening.
Next steps. Being in control of your personal finances seems, but we all know it takes time. Planning and discipline. Several steps that can help us gain control over our finances are:
exercise self-discipline in credit card spending. Remember to determine what is really a need and what is a want. Track your spending and be aware of your habits. Reduce your debt. Reallocate all that extra money to savings for your future goals. Save as much as you can to assure you reach your financial goals. Keep in mind investing involves risk. The value of your investment will fluctuate over time and you may gain or lose money.
This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal, non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. 2014 FMR LLC, all rights reserved. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.